ॐ गणितमिनन्दस्य जनाजनासलकया चक्षुस्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थपितां येन भूतले सायं रूपकदा मायां ददति स वन्दितम् वञ्चकोपधुर्भ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुवैः च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Pranjana's days are almost over, having been attacked by the Gandhava soldiers, 360 of them, representing 360 or so days a year, and the female Gandhavis, as many as there were males, the night, the light ones, there are the dark ones, the black ones, to represent the evenings, the night time. And how the attack, we don't think about the days and nights as attacks, but actually they are. And they attack and steal and plunder. What do they plunder? They plunder the remaining parts of our life. So if one is engaged or is acting for pleasure, all is lost. When one is acting for material, sensual pleasure, all is lost by the passing of a day and the passing of a night. Nothing at all is gained. Day by day, spent in sensual pleasure, or even mental or intellectual pursuits, what is gained? One can't consider it a gain to build a sandcastle on the shore of the ocean. Why? Because very quickly the tide will come and wash it away. So what is gained in this world on the asat level, or the ephemeral, fleeting, temporary level of pleasure? And how quickly the time passes. 10, 20, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And one is 40, 50, looking back, those youthful days are gone, and no matter how much time one spends trying to recoup his bodily strength and beauty, it is impossible. It is gone. That body is gone. It is hard for us to accept that we are actually eternal souls. It is hard for us to accept that because we don't directly experience it due to the modes of passion and ignorance. But it is also hard to accept that we are the body, because which body are we? Are we the body of the three-year-old that I used to have? Well, if I am that body, where is it? Because I'm the same person. Am I the body of the 16-year-old? So if I am my body, the question is, which body am I? The 18-year-old body, the 25-year-old body, the 35-year-old body? Am I the 53-year-old body? If I'm the 53-year-old body, then where was I when I was 20? So which body, if we are the body? So one day by one day, practically speaking, imperceptibly, life is stolen away without any true gain, any eternal gain, any lasting gain by each setting and rising of the sun. So Paranjana, in the allegory, his days are coming to an end. We read in previous chapters the very sweet days of his finding his wife and living and enjoying. But now the days of Pranjana's life are ending. So the five-hooded serpent, the superintendent and protector of the city of King Paranjan. So King Paranjan means the living entity, the soul. His wife is his material intelligence. The serpent is the life air, the energy of life. The city is his body. So the five-hooded serpent, that's the energy, the life, the prana, it fought with the Gandharvas for 100 years. So the life, the different obstacles day by day that we meet in our life, the life energy or the prana fights it off for 100 years. He fought alone with all of them, although they numbered 720. So that's 360 days, 360 nights. This is the struggle for existence, but the soul must one day leave that body. So the struggle is illusory. We struggle and fight for our very life, and it's illusory in the sense that it is based, the struggle is based on maintaining a body that is not actually us. So because he had to fight alone with so many soldiers, all of whom were great warriors, the serpent with five hoods became very weak. So after a certain amount of years of struggle in life, one loses one's life's energy. So what age is that given as in the prior purports? Does anyone remember? Just around 50, you're tired, you just don't want to go through with it, continue any more struggling and fighting, bluffing that everything is right. So the serpent with five hoods gradually became weak. Seeing that his most intimate friend was weakening, so when our life energy goes down, Paranjana, the soul within the body, the consciousness, what happens? What happens when one's energy goes down? What's the reaction?
Detachment.
Huh?
Detachment.
Detachment? If one is an exalted soul, he's detached. But what usually happens?
Anxiety.
What were you going to say, Edward? Yeah, weakness. And that causes anxiety. So much anxiety, we don't want it to happen. Especially since we see so many young people who it's not happening to yet. As envy enters the heart. So seeing that his most intimate friend, that's his life energy, was weakening, King Paranjan and his friends and citizens living within the city all became very anxious. Because we depend on the life energy to keep us going. We'll read a little of Prabhupada's purport. The living entity resides within the body and struggles for existence with the limbs of the body, which are referred to here as citizens and friends. One can struggle alone with many soldiers for some time, but not for all time. The living entity within the body can struggle up to the limit of 100 years with good luck. But after that, it is not possible to prolong the struggle. Thus, the living entity submits. Ultimately, we have to submit to the enemies, to the weakness and the conquering enemies. This is at the beginning of 17. You're reading ahead. Oh, good. So eager. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura sang, Vrida Kala Oila Savasukha Bhagal. When one becomes old, it becomes impossible to enjoy material happiness. And again, it's one thing that's bad is not enjoying material happiness. And then that triples, quadruples the misery one feels when one sees the young people enjoying material happiness. Pain and suffering quadrupled. So King Paranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchal, and thus he was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand. In other words, he took shelter when this weakness was occurring, rather than trying to plumb the depths of the actual meaning of what was going on. He took shelter of sensual enjoyment of women, of illusion, forgetfulness, ignorance, putting the head in the sand like the proverbial what? Ostrich. And what's the other animal who does something, not puts his head in the sand, but just when he's attacked, he runs for a little while, and then what does he do? He's got long ears. He stops. What? He closes his eyes and goes like this. It's a rabbit. So that's what Paranjana was doing. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death. Yes. My dear King Prithini Barishat, because Narada Muni is explaining this to the king who was in a similar parallel circumstance. At that time, the daughter of formidable time was seeking her husband throughout the three worlds. Although no one agreed to accept her, she came. Prabhupada's purport. So this is the daughter of time. In due course of time, when the body becomes old and practically invalid, it is subject to jara, the sufferings of old age. There are four basic kinds of suffering: birth, old age, disease, and death. Now, which one do you prefer? Huh? One. Usually people would say birth or something, probably, yeah? But birth is suffering. And if that's our choice, because all you're completely helpless, all you can do is go, you just go like that. No one can understand. A pin could be sticking in you, and you can't even let anyone know except by going wah wah. And if you're hungry, you go wah wah. Or if someone's biting, so it's such a tortured position. You can't do anything for yourself. You can't move your body properly. You can't do anything. It's torture. So this is the choice of material life. Pick your suffering. Which would you rather have? Birth, death, old age, or disease? So, it's not very good. With a little bit of pleasure in between. So in due course of time, when the body becomes old and practically invalid, it is the subject of jara, the sufferings of old age. There are four basic kinds of sufferings: birth, old age, disease, and death. No scientist or philosopher has ever been able to make a solution to these four miserable conditions. The invalidity of old age, known as jara, is figuratively explained here as the daughter of time, because time gives birth for the human being to old age, naturally. No one likes her. No one likes this daughter. But she is very much anxious to accept anyone as her husband. She wants to combine with everyone. But no one likes her. She is old age, jara. No one likes to become old and invalid. But this is inevitable for everyone. There is only one way to stop from becoming old. Yeah, that's all. It's the only way. Die young. So that's not very much of an alternative. The daughter of time, Jara, was very unfortunate. Consequently, she was known as Durbhag, ill-fated. However, she was once pleased with a great king. And because the king accepted her, she granted him a great benediction. So this is from the story that will be told in later on in the ninth canto of Yayati and Puru and Yadu, like that. And she accepted, prematurely she went to Maharaj Yayati, being cursed to become old at a young age, Yayati was. And then Puru, the king, accepted, or the son of Yayati, accepted the old age of his father. So Narada is saying, when I once came to this earth from Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system, the daughter of time, wandering all over the universe, met me. Knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her. The great sage Narada continued, when I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said that I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time. Prabhupada explains in the purports there that if a brahmachari resists the strength of a woman's attraction, Prabhupada explains, it's difficult for old men, what to speak of the young. So if someone resists engaging in sex life, then one remains young and doesn't embrace old age. So after she was thus disappointed by me, with my permission, she approached the king of the Yavanas, whose name was Bhaya. What does Bhaya mean? Fear. And she accepted him as her husband, because when old age comes, naturally Bhaya comes along with it, fear comes along with old age. What is the fear of? Fear of death. Fear of everything, actually. Not only afraid of death, fear of strangers, fear of poverty, fear of this, fear of that. Continuous fear. And ultimately fear of death. So Narada Muni arranged her shelter, even because he was very kind, he arranged her shelter. And the purpose of this was to counteract ordinary non-devotees, Prabhupada explains this in his purport. Approaching the king of the Yavanas, Bhaya, Kalyakana addressed him as a great hero, Kalakanya, saying, my dear sir, you are the best of the untouchables, and I am in love with you, and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you. I'll read some of Prabhupada's purport starting in the second paragraph. If a person is Krishna conscious, he can work like a young man, even if he is 75 or 80 years old. Certainly Prabhupada did this. Thus the daughter of Kala, time, cannot overcome a Vaishnava. Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami engaged in writing Chaitanya Charitamrita when he was very old. Yet, he presented the most wonderful literature about the activities of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami began their spiritual lives at an old age, at a very old age, that is, after they retired from their occupations and family lives. Yet, they presented many valuable literatures for the advancement of spiritual life. This is confirmed by Srila Srinivasa Charja, who praised the Goswamis in this way. Nana shastra vacharanai kanapano sadharma sanstapako lokanam itakarano jibhuvane manyo zaranya karo radha krishna padara vinda bhajana nandena samatalako vande rupa sanatano raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Thus jara, the effects of old age, does not harass a devotee. This is because a devotee follows the instructions and the determination of Narada Muni. All devotees are in the disciplic succession stemming from Narada Muni because they worship the deity according to Narada Muni's direction, namely the Narada Pancharatra or Pancharatriki Vidhi. A devotee follows the principles of Pancharatriki Vidhi as well as the Bhagavata Vidhi. Bhagavata Vidhi includes preaching work, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, the hearing and chanting of the glories of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Pancharatriki Vidhi includes Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam. Because a devotee rigidly follows the instructions of Narada Muni, he has no fear of old age, disease, or death. Apparently, a devotee may grow old, but he is not subjected to the symptoms of defeat experienced by a common man in old age. Consequently, old age does not make a devotee fearful of death, as a common man is fearful of death. So, very weighty topic, but superficiality in devotion will not bring us this quality, these qualities. Depth in devotion will. When jara, or old age, takes shelter of a devotee, kalakanya diminishes the devotee's fear. A devotee knows that after death he is going back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he has no fear of death. Thus, instead of depressing a devotee, advanced age helps him become fearless and thus happy. That's actually the only way to become happy, is to become fearless. If we are afraid, no matter what situation we are in, we will find something to worry about and fear, and that will steal away our happiness like a thief, regardless of the situation one is in. So the way to happiness is fearlessness, and the way to fearlessness is taking shelter of Abhaya Charan. Who is Abhaya Charan? Fearless Abhaya Charanaravinda. Fearless because he is taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So instead of depressing a devotee, advanced age helps him become fearless and thus happy. And also it's even more clear that one is not the body. Because clearly one becomes conscious of the fact that this isn't me. Even if because usually we don't identify with the older body, we identify with the younger body that we had. So we clearly see, each time we look in the mirror, this isn't me. Kalakanya continued, speaking to Yavanaraj Bhaya. Oh, gentle one, I am now present before you to serve you. Please accept me and thus show me mercy. It is a gentleman's greatest duty to be compassionate upon a person who is distressed. So Yavanaraj obeyed the request of Narada, who requested he give shelter to Kalakanya or Jara. But he decided to obey Narada's request, but do it in a different way. So after hearing the statements of Kalakanya, the daughter of time who was approaching him, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kalakanya as follows. Here's Prabhupada's purport. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Ekala Ishwara Krishna ar sabhavritya yai yaitse nichoy se taitse kare nritya. Actually, the Supreme Controller is the personality of Godhead, Krishna, and everyone is his servant. Yavanaraj, the king of the Yavanas, was also a servant of Krishna. Consequently, he wanted to execute the purpose of Krishna through the agency of Kalakanya. Although Kalakanya means invalidity or old age, Yavanaraj wanted to serve Krishna by introducing Kalakanya everywhere. Thus a saint, so what is the purpose of old age? What is the positive purpose? What is Krishna's mercy in old age? Yavanaraj wanted to introduce this. Foolish people engage in material activities as if they will live forever and enjoy material advancement. But actually, there is no material advancement. Under illusion, people think that material opulence will save them. But although there has been much advancement in material science, the problems of human society, birth, death, old age, and disease are still unsolved. Nonetheless, foolish scientists are thinking that they have advanced materially. When Kalakanya, the invalidity of old age, attacks them, they become fearful of death if they are sane. Those who are insane simply do not care for death, nor do they know what is going to happen after death. They are under the wrong impression that after death there is no life, and consequently they act very irresponsibly in this life and enjoy unrestricted sense gratification. For an intelligent person, the appearance of old age is an impetus to spiritual life. Why? If one thinks about the names of the personalities involved, Jara is married to Yavanaraj, whose name is Bhaya, or fear. So the fear that I'm going to die is very heavy. And if a person has some piety in that fear, he will take shelter of God and, oh, please help me. He'll become very religious. So old age, in old age, people naturally become religious. But if someone is impious in old age, they say, oh, I don't care for God, or they keep enjoying as if they were young till the very end. They try their best to enjoy as if they were young. As if they were young. But they are not young. So what do? They associate with other old folks and have parties and play, listen to music, dance as if they were young. Go on sporting and playing as if they were young. Associating with other old people so everyone looks that age so they don't remember. And there's always someone still older. So you think, oh, I'm young compared to that person. So, this is impiety. An impious way to approach old age. The pious way is to accept the inevitable. Accept the inevitable and take shelter of Krishna. Be fearful. That's the pious way. Be fearful and beg Krishna's protection. Become a devotee. So, in this sense, Kalakanya is doing a great service to everyone. Giving one the opportunity of old age to become fearful and take shelter of Krishna. So looking at, we'll read the next verse in purport, and then I'll ask the question. The king of the Yavanas replied, after much consideration, this is 28, I've arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife? Purport. After much consideration, the king of the Yavanas decided to make the best use of a bad bargain. Kalakanya was a bad bargain, and no one liked her. But everything can be used for the service of the Lord. Thus the king of the Yavanas tried to utilize her for some purpose. The purpose has already been explained, that is, Kalakanya as Jara, the invalidity of old age, can be used to arouse a sense of fear in people so that they will prepare for the next life by engaging in Krishna consciousness. So what is the purpose of the telling of this story to Prachini Barishat by Narada? What is the purpose? Yes. And what is the purpose of it being included in the Bhagavatam? Exactly the same purpose, to arouse fear. In who? In the speaker. But not only the speaker, but the reader, the hearer also. Some fear is very healthy, even if we're young. Why? Because we should know clearly that although it doesn't feel like it, although it feels like it's never really going to happen to us, it will, it will, it will. And we should live our life not like Paranjana, but live our life knowing that it's going to happen, and therefore live more intelligently. More intelligently, so that when that time comes, we become fearless due to spiritual advancement. Not having gotten entangled like Paranjana in just sensual enjoyment. The person who has taken shelter of Krishna when he's young has it so much easier time. So much an easier of a time. It is austere for him when he is young. It is very austere when he's young, because everyone is enjoying and he's the only one not enjoying. The senses are strong. They look at him, people look at him and say, look at this person's a fool. Look at him. Look what he's doing. This is the time for really enjoying life. So then, in youth especially, it's so austere, the path of religiosity, devotional service. But later on, when reality, the rest of reality enters, inevitable time takes its toll, then the devotee is already quite detached, having performed the austerities of youth and middle life. Is quite detached. So here is the plan that Chandravega had for old age. This world is a product of fruit of activities. Therefore, you may imperceptibly attack people in general. Old age imperceptibly attacks. In what sense? It attacks very slowly. And you fight off a little bit, you know, when the hair grays, you can dye it, or when it falls out, you can wear some kind of wig or have a transplant or something like that. Or you can take hormones or more vitamins. But these measures, palliatives, they don't stop the inevitable from happening. It makes it simply more imperceptible. So therefore, you may imperceptibly attack people in general, day by day. Things that are gradual aren't noticed. Helped by my soldiers, you can kill them without opposition. So, so day by day, the soldiers are the days and the nights. Imperceptibly, people become old. If someone was going to become old with their knowledge, and quickly, they would very intelligently ward it off through devotion. But instead, because it happens slowly and imperceptibly, people continue with their mundane, meaningless lives to the bitter end, always hoping that this difficulty will be overcome, just like all the other difficulties up to this point have been overcome. But one will be the knockout, the final knockout. It must. And no one knows when it's going to come. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The word karma, vinaya mitam, means manufactured by fruit of activities. This entire material world, especially in these days, is the result of fruit of activities. Everyone is fully engaged in decorating the world with highways, motor cars, electricity, skyscrapers, industries, businesses, etc. All this appears very nice for those who are simply engaged in sense gratification and who are ignorant of spiritual identity. So a person who is in material life thinks all this is so wonderful. Look how much advancement we're making, progress. We're evolving. How wonderful it is. As described in the Bhagavatam, Nunam Pramate Kurute Vikarna Yarindriya Pritya Prinoti Nasadu Manye Yatatmano Yam Asan Apikleshara Ashadeha. Those without knowledge of the spirit soul are mad after materialistic activities. And they perform all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. According to Rishabdev, such activities are inauspicious because they force one to accept an abominable body in the next life. Everyone can experience that although we try to keep the body in a comfortable position, it is always giving pain and it is subjected to the threefold miseries. Otherwise, why are there so many hospitals, welfare boards, and insurance establishments? Actually, in this world, there is no happiness. People are simply engaged trying to counteract unhappiness. Foolish people accept unhappiness as happiness. Therefore, the king of the Yavanas decided to attack such foolish people imperceptibly by old age, disease, and ultimately death, step by step. Day by day, night by day. Of course, after death, there must be birth. Therefore, Yavanaraj thought it wise to kill all the karmis through the agency of Kalakanya and thus try to make them aware that materialistic advancement is not actually advancement. Every living entity is a spiritual being, and consequently, without spiritual advancement, the human form of life is ruined. Purpose of life. People don't think of what is the purpose of life. Who am I? The purpose of life is based on who we are. If I'm an American, my business is to serve America. If I'm an Australian, my business of life is to serve Australia. If I'm an Indian, my business is to serve India. But if I'm a spirit soul, then who is my relationship with? It's neither with the home of my body, the place of birth of my body, neither America, Australia, or India. If I'm a soul, then my relationship is with the Supreme Soul, Krishna, and I should serve Him. So that, to inquire, Kayami, who am I? Is the beginning of human life that differentiates us from animal life. And that is a question that we should continuously be asking ourselves. Who am I? Who actually am I? And who are we? So depending upon the consciousness of the person who has asked that question, the answer is different. So a materialist, you ask him who he is, it's an interesting question to ask, and you'll see exactly where their consciousness is. So naturally everyone will say something in relationship to the body. If you ask someone who has is religious, they'll tell you that I'm a Muslim or a Christian or this or a Jew or a Hindu or something. But who will answer the non-designative identity that they are? That I'm a soul. And even more rare than that is who will say I am Krishna's servant. Very, very, very rare that someone, when he thinks and experiences his identity, his feeling of I-ness. We all have that feeling of I-ness. I exist. Everyone has that feeling of identity. That is called ego. It's unavoidable. So when a person is so realized in his identity that when he experiences himself, he experiences himself as Krishna's, such a person is so rare. So rare. So at least this is the purpose of human life. The purpose of the intelligence is such introspection, not extroversion, just reacting with the outside world. It's to be focused within. The consciousness is to be focused within, to understand who we are and who is our relationship and what is our relationship with Krishna. So the king of the Yavanas continue, here is my brother Prajara. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you. Prajara means the accompanying fever at the time of death. So they're going to make quite a combination. I shall accept both of you, as well as my dangerous soldiers, to act imperceptibly within this world. So this is the killing fever. So day by day, the days and nights are the soldiers of Yavanaraj. Then Jara comes, old age, and he himself is fear, working with them. And then finally, the knockout blow is the fever, high, high fever that precedes death. So this is the plan. And who is going to be the object of this plan? Paranjana. They're going to attack him very, very quickly, and they're going to kill him. He's already getting old. He's taken shelter of illusion, and now they're going to kill him. So we should, some fear should enter our consciousness. Does this mean that I'm going to die one day? Me? Nah. But maybe. Maybe everything will be finished. But who can prove that? The scientists or the materialists say when you're finished, everything is finished. But can they prove that? They look at the devotees when we say we're souls, we're eternal. And they say, well, prove it. So, but when they say everything is finished at death, and we say prove it, can they prove it? I don't think so. How can they prove that? Does anyone know? Can they prove beyond a doubt, scientifically, that when my body dies, that I cease to exist? My consciousness is finished? Can that be proved? Did you ever see any proof of that? Edward? No. But yet, there is audacity. And they want the devotees to prove everything, right? The religious people to prove everything. But they have no proof for their belief. No proof at all. Just blind faith. They're hoping. that everything will be finished. So they don't, really? So they don't have to suffer for what they've done. It depends where you work. If you work where Sahasra works, you probably see it. He works in the RPH a lot of the time? Radharani's Perth Hospital. Of course, that's why Chandravali isn't there. Because it's Radharani's Perth Hospital. Of course, everyone knew that. Yeah, it depends where you work. If you work in the old age home, you see it too. And also you see it, even if you walk in the Galleria, you'll see it. You'll see old people just with their canes just trying to. You see the suffering on the street. You look at the faces of the old people, and you always see people in those little electric cars running around, right? Because I can't walk. It's jara. Any other questions or comments? Jason, any questions or comments?
Not
okay. Kinyat.
Can you explain that Jara was once pleased with the great king, and because the king accepted her, she granted him a great benediction? What was actually the great benediction that she granted Vyati?
No, I think it was Puru accepted her. And the Purus... See, this is why the Yadu dynasty members couldn't become the king, because of the curse on Yadu. Even though we understand it he didn't accept the old age of his father Yayati for a good reason. He wanted to become renounced, and the 11th he exhibits that good reason when he meets Dattatreya and he actually becomes renounced. But there was a curse. That the Yadu dynasty couldn't become the kings of the world, but because Puru accepted that, he became king. So that was the benediction that came from accepting the old age
of
his father.
And the other one was, why is Vaya or fear the king of the Yavanas? Why did he choose to be? Why is the symbolism of being the king of the Yavanas here?
If you want, I can make things up on the spot. I can easily, because if you're a Yavana, what are you ruled by?
Enjoyment.
And if you're ruled by enjoyment, you're really going to be ruled by fear. Because a person who's enjoying... So fear is the king of non-devotees. He rules non-devotees. But I just made that up. Yes, Yavana Raj is Chandravega or Baya. They all seem to have two or three names. And also Kalakanya is Jara, is old age.
But Chandravega is the father of Jara.
Yeah.
Is different from Yavana Raj?
Yeah.
Yavana Raj and Baya, one.
Oh, one. Not one, they're two.
Yeah.
And the sister, brother...
Chandravega
is so Chandravega is different again.
Yes.
But I think it's the same, because his soldiers are the days and the nights.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Chandravega's soldiers.
Huh?
Chandravega's soldiers.
Yeah. But that's also Yavanaraja's soldiers, which is also... Okay, someone should research this very carefully and report next time. Gandhava Raj is Chandravega.
Yeah.
So is Gandhava, the question is Gandhava Raj the same as Yavana Raj? So not maybe.
So there's no indication anywhere that they
are the same. Yes.
Just because they both have soldiers, they're both kings.
And they have the same soldiers, though. Same soldiers of the days and the night.
Yeah.
Huh?
Does it say that in the future?
What? Whoops. Who? Yeah. The Gandhava Raj?
No, Yavana Raj. It just says help find our soldiers, but it doesn't say who the soldiers are.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Maybe in the next section.
No, maybe. Okay. Anyway, it's a rough life, no matter who's the Governor Raj. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
What was Krishna's mercy in old age?
Fear. And the fear, if one is pious, impels one to take shelter of him, because there's nothing one can do about it. One can go to so many doctors, one can do this and that, but ultimately there's nothing one can do about it, and therefore one naturally becomes fearful, and if one's pious, one will take shelter of Krishna. So a person could have wasted his whole life, but yet, if he's a little bit pious, and fearful due to the inevitable approach of death, he'll take shelter of Krishna. So many old people become much more religious later in their life in this way. But nowadays, as people become more and more impious, they don't even do that. Yeah.
Trying to get some kind of understanding on the differentiation between Antarashtriviti and
Bhagavad Vidhi.
Bhagavad Vidhi. Because the way it was spoken there, a little bit indicated, it seemed to indicate that both Bhagavad Vidhi was from the testimony of Shravan Kirtana, and then Antarashtriviti was Bhajan Vananda Singh. I think that was the way.
Yes.
So just, it seems to be confuses me in thinking of defining devotional stages, that first of all worship of the deity will be there, and then
worship of the deity is Pancharatriki Vidhi.
And then that will be not useful until there will be vision beyond that as well. And some
no, they both go on simultaneously. Pancharatriki Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi go on simultaneously, not one leads to the other. They're supposed to go on simultaneously from the beginning, actually.
But the Bhagavad Vidhi is more primary, in a sense.
But we require the help of the Pancharatriki Vidhi. Hare Krishna. Did you want to say something? There's two. Neither. Bhagavad Vidhi means the path that directly connects one to the Lord through hearing and chanting, basically. That's the Shiksha Parampara. Anyway, it's a technical subject. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.